Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning I'm going to focus on the passage from Exodus. There's a lot there, and there's a lot of stuff that intrigues me. And I hope that everybody is familiar with the story of the burning bush. If not from Scripture, you remember from the Ten Commandments. And that led me to think about how we believe things we see. But should we? So if, like me, you're a consumer of too much news, you've heard about deep fakes. And there are threats that are being used in political campaigns, and that's where people use computer technology to make things appear real that are not. So I thought about this story from Exodus, and what kind of proof would you need to believe Moses? Now remember, Moses had his run-ins with some of his countrymen before today's reading. Moses did not grow up with the Hebrews. Moses grew up with the Egyptians. He was one of the children who was sent to die, and he was taken out of the river and raised in the house of Pharaoh. He seemed to have it set. Life was good. Life was comfortable. But there was something burning in Moses, and Moses did not like injustice. You remember in the passages preceding this lesson today, Moses went out one morning and he saw an Egyptian taskmaster abusing one of the Hebrews. And he reacted negatively to that. He killed the Egyptian. And then he buried the body. After that event, Moses saw two Hebrews having at it with one another. And he tried to break up the fight. And the Hebrews said to him, "You're not going to be the boss of us. We know what you did. We know you killed someone." So Moses fled. Moses knew the gig was up. And he went to Midian, which was a territory that lay outside of the Egyptian bounds. And there he started a new life. Now, what did he do? He became a shepherd. Now, if you've been paying attention to your lessons from Scripture, you know that being a shepherd appears a lot in the Bible. David was a shepherd. Jesus talks about being a shepherd. There is an element of leadership in being a shepherd. There's an ability and desire to work with everyone who needs your help. So Moses became a shepherd working for this man, Reuel. And it was one day when he was taking care of the flocks that he went up the mountain. And that's where he encountered what we call the burning bush. Now I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Who here has seen the Ten Commandments? So most of you, but not all of you. But those of you who have seen it, remember the scene where Moses encounters the burning bush. And I was a kid when I first saw that movie on TV, and I thought the special effects were pretty good. Now, of course, special effects are so much better now. But still, the idea that you could create this moment and put it on film was something that must have made Otto Preminger feel really good. Now, Ten Commandments was one of the favorite movies of one of my Hebrew Bible professors in divinity school. And he was blunt. He said that in terms of the historical record and scripture, it's worthless. But he loved the movie. And he talked about Moses' encounter with God. You remember, God doesn't say, "This is my name. I am Fred." Instead, God says, "I am that I am." And if you look at the translation that's printed in our bulletin, he speaks in all caps. Now, that kind of speech effect is now frowned upon. But that's the way God spoke. You can imagine the voice was booming, that it commanded Moses' attention. God wasn't looking for Moses' attention, but he wanted to engage in a conversation with him. And that's the lesson we need to take away from today's scripture reading. Not that God is going to show up before us in some unbelievable manifestation. I'm not going to tell you that the bushes out in front of the church are on fire. If I did, you'd wonder what I was smoking. But God does talk with us. God does care about us. God is with us. And that's what God wanted Moses to take away from this encounter, this promise that God is present with us. Now, you remember, Moses thought that God was asking him to do something impossible. Moses thought that the job of leading the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt was being given to him. That somehow he, Moses, needed to go show up in front of Pharaoh and shake the bondage fetters loose. That's not what God wanted Moses to do. God was asking Moses to be his spokesperson. God was going to do the hard work there. And sometimes when we think about the work of the church that needs to be done, we think we need to do it all. We don't. We don't need to come up with a new mission for the church. We don't need to come up with a new list of things that we should do. Paul gives us a pretty good list of things to do in Romans 12. And I use that as the basis of my monthly message to you in the newsletter. And a lot of that seems obvious. But do we always do what is obvious? No, we don't. Do we always remember that there are people beside us when tough times hit? No, we don't. I'm as guilty of this as anyone else. Instinctively, I like to go it alone. But that's not what we're called to do. We are called to reach out to our neighbors and our friends, to give them a chance to contribute their gifts, their ideas, their visions. And when we work together, we can make things happen. So, I'm going to apologize for using that word because I've been told that that's a rhetorical device I fall back on too often. What does that mean for us going into this new program year? We need to rely on one another. That's what we're going to do with the Children's Community Corner, and that's what we're going to do with Mission Social Action. That's what we're going to do at the Diaconate. That's what we're going to do at Church Council. That's what we're going to do with the trustees and finance committees. There is a role for you here. Each and every one of you has a role to play in the life of the church. I was going to read to you from the Hebrew Bible, in Hebrew. And this is what Moses said. Actually, it's what God said to Moses. Vayomer el tikrat halem shal ne'alach mela rigalach ki hamakom asher ata omer alav. Did anybody know what I just read? Now, I will admit that my accent there wasn't spot on. But the words of the Hebrew Bible make sense if you speak biblical Hebrew. Except what God says his name in is just as perplexing to us in the original Hebrew as it is in modern English. God introduces himself by saying that he is who he is, or he is what he is becoming. The translation we have in our bulletin is not the only one that has been rendered for the text. But think about God. God is an action. God is the source of all being. God is love. And I believe these scriptures were very, very important to Jesus because he didn't have the Gospels. Remember that. The only Bible Jesus had was the Hebrew Bible. And it was these texts that would have resonated with Jesus. And the God of the Hebrew Bible who shows up to be present with the Israelites, leading them out of Egypt, then walking before them as a cloud or a pillar of fire, is the same God who shows up in the Gospels in the form of Jesus. God is present with us. And God is now here with us in the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is present this morning. I know that people can hear the Bible stories and say, well, that all sounds good, but what about this? What about that? Where was God in Maui? Where was God in Florida during the recent hurricane? The Bible doesn't promise us rainbows. It doesn't promise us unicorns. It doesn't promise us that everything is going to be okay every moment of the day. Things happen in life. Things that we need to prepare for. Things that we need to work to remedy. But we're not alone. We are not alone. God is with us. And I've said that before, and I'll say it again. Emmanuel, that is a name of Jesus. God with us. Literally, God is with us. So I don't think we should spend too much time trying to puzzle out how the bush didn't burn. The laws of physics don't allow for it. But that doesn't mean God couldn't do that. But just because God suspended the laws of physics that day to communicate with Moses doesn't mean that God won't find other ways to communicate with you and with me. Through texts of scripture, through hymns, through service, through interactions with one another. Each one of you represents God to other people. Each one of you, and me too, is created in the image of God. Think about that. Do you see God's image when you look in the mirror? On one hand, I hope so. On the other hand, I'd be a little bit worried because you'd be too cocky if you thought that. But God has made each and every one of us. Think about that and carry that thought with you from this place today.